Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on the Brian Lehrer Show. LeBron James, Kevin Garnett, and others wore black I Can't Breathe t-shirts during warm-ups at the Barclays Center last night. Did you see it? And the Eric Garner and Ferguson decisions are galvanizing musicians, too. Alicia Keys there. And later this hour, we'll sample from other new songs released in response to the news by J. Cole, G-Unit, and Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine. We'll talk about music's role during world-changing outcries in the past and now today. Also today, call him Judas Schumer, call him Benedict Arnold Schumer, or call him right. The senior senator from New York trashes the decision to pass Obamacare in a speech at the National Press Club.
We took their mandate and put all of our focus on the wrong problem, health care reform.
We will hear some longer excerpts from Schumer and get political analysis and your reactions. But first, among the many issues surrounding the death of Eric Garner, one is the fact that police were trying to arrest him for the crime of selling black market Lucy's, or single untaxed cigarettes. Should this even be a crime that you can go to jail for? I asked New York City Deputy Mayor Anthony Shoris on this show last week, and he seemed to affirm that police will still arrest people for this, even after Eric Garner.
Part of the issue, Brian, is that there are, and whether we like it or not, there is a tax in place on this, and there's a lot of merchants who do a fair amount of complaining about people selling cigarettes that are not subject to the tax.
To many black and Latino New Yorkers, the fatal arrest attempt was another example of too much risky police contact over low-level violations like this. But to conservatives and libertarians, it's also an example of one of their big complaints about government: onerous taxation. New York has the highest cigarette taxes in the nation at more than $5 a pack. Here is Senator Rand Paul speaking on MSNBC last week.
Obviously, the individual circumstances are important, but I think it's also important to know that some politician put a tax of $5.85 on a pack of cigarettes. So they've driven cigarettes underground by making them so expensive. But then some politician also had to direct the police to say, hey, we want you arresting people for selling a loose cigarette. And for someone to die over, you know, breaking that law, there really is no excuse for it. But I do blame the politicians. We put our police in a difficult situation with bad laws.
Can Rand Paul be serious that tax laws contributed to Eric Garner's death? With me now is David Harsanyi. He's a senior editor for The Federalist, and he wrote a column for the Libertarian Reason magazine entitled Eric Garner's Death Shows How Stupid Laws Help Get People Killed. Hi, David. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
What role do you think a bad tax law played in Eric Garner's death?
I don't believe he was targeted for selling Lucy or that cigarette, you know, that cops go out there on a strike force to hurt people over onerous taxation, or what I believe is onerous taxation. But I do believe that it creates an environment that allows things to happen. And government is often means force, and force. And at some point, someone has to make sure that these laws are being followed. And depends what sort of priority we put on what law. But clearly, this is important to the state of New York and the city of New York. Andrew Cuomo has a strike team. Literally, those are the words for it to collect these taxes. And in the end, they're going to have to use force occasionally, and people can die. So I don't think it's I think Rand Paul was a little tone deaf in initially just dropping that reasoning for what happened there. I think it's far more complicated, obviously. But I do think it plays some part in what goes on the streets.
So, listeners, do you think cigarette taxes in New York are too high? Do you think Governor Cuomo should not have a strike force, as our guest just called it, to enforce cigarette taxation laws? Do you think people should not go to jail for selling Lucy's? Do you think this law should be enforced in some other way? 212-433-WNYC is part of your anger. If you're angry over the death of Eric Garner, is part of your anger, is any little corner of your anger directed at either the de Blasio administration for, you know, going by Deputy Mayor Shoris's statement there, continuing to enforce these laws at the level of being willing to arrest people, take people to jail for them, or into custody? Or what else would you say? Is this a big distraction? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. For David Harsanyi, senior editor of The Federalist, who wrote in Reason magazine the article titled "Eric Garner's Death Shows How Stupid Laws Help Get People Killed." And David, I see from the article that you think high cigarette taxes are stupid because they're intended to shield people from their own lawful habit, smoking. Do you object to high cigarette taxes as a public health measure?
I do, for two reasons. I'm a libertarian. I object to them on an ideological level, but moreover, I don't think they're really as effective as one might imagine. Cigarette smoking has gone down in cities all over the place where taxes are lower at almost the same rates. I think perhaps it helps slightly, but it hurts poor people who do not stop smoking, according to some statistics, and creates a sort of unnecessary law enforcement. It puts police in unnecessary conditions. And you said I referred to it as a strike force, but actually Governor Cuomo called it the cigarette strike force, not me. And I think that using the word strike force tells us how important it is for them as far as revenue goes.
Well, it's not just revenue. Certainly they get revenue. They get revenue that helps subsidize the massive public expenditures on cigarette-related diseases. So one could argue that almost from a libertarian perspective, it's the personal responsibility of smokers to contribute to their future health care. What do you think about that argument?
I think that's the strongest argument for it, the externalities argument. No one would accept those arguments on other levels. If I said that promiscuous sexual behavior costs the city a ton of money because of various reasons, then no one would say, okay, well, we need to somehow coerce people into not participating in that sort of activity. I think smoking is something that generally the population dislikes, so they look the other way when we try to coerce people out of it. Yeah, obviously in New York, there's the soda tax and other issues that would, some people would call nanny-state issues have popped up. And I think that smoking is the easiest one simply because more and more people aren't smoking and more people are annoyed by it. So we allow government to do things like this.
Right. Your line is dropping in and out a little bit. So it dropped out when you said it's considered by some a nanny-state tax. But when you say cigarette smoking was going down anyway, we don't need this to discourage smoking as a public health measure, hasn't government intervention, and as a libertarian, you're obviously skeptical of government in general, but hasn't government intervention in this case, meaning against the cigarette industry, been one of the great government success stories of the last 50 years, from the early Surgeon General's report to the warnings on PACs to arguably taxes, public service announcements, and to Mayor Bloomberg's cigarettes and restaurants ban?
I think that there's a difference between transparency and educating the public about the risks of a product, which it was a good thing in my mind, and coercing a business, a private property, not to be able to allow people to smoke in their shops or bars or restaurants. I think there's a big difference between those two. I support the latter. I don't support the latter. So I think that people need to make a differentiation between coercion and transparency. I am for warnings on cigarette labels. People should know what they're doing. And I think almost everyone in the world knows smoking is bad for them at this point. And forcing people who decide to do it anyway not to do it by punishing them with taxes or not allowing them to do it on their own property.
Let's start taking some of our callers. Jen in Prospect Heights, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Love your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I think that this question of whether or not we should tax cigarettes is a perfectly legitimate question to ask. I happen to disagree with your guest, but I'm calling to say I'm honestly physically pained that your guest is being so opportunistic as to pretend that this question is connected to Eric Garner's death. I'm really weeping. And Brian, I got to say, I'm disappointed because I expect more of your show and to amplify this connection. Eric Garner's death is about racism. Eric Garner's death is about racism. It's not about cigarette tax. And the fact that this is being used, that a man's death, a man with six children's death, is being used to leverage an argument about cigarettes and taxes is, to me, just really an intense demonstration of how deep the denial in this country about the fact that we do not live in the country that our parents told us we lived in. We do not have the justice system that our parents told us we had. And white people have to start figuring that out. We're going to have a lot more deaths, more than we've already had.
Jen, could it be an example to you of just too much police contact, broken windows policing, too much police contact with mostly black and Latino, mostly young males, over too many little things that should be violations, that should not be arrestable offenses, that this one happens to have broken out because of what happened, but that it's worth a little bit of focus for that reason?
Worth a little bit of focus, Brian, and that's what you're focusing on, but that's not what the Reason article is focusing on.
Jen, thank you very much. So David Harsanyi, I know you were off there for a minute because we were trying to get you on a better line, but the caller's argument is that, and she's outraged because she feels it's such a distraction, that conservatives and libertarians are hitchhiking here, sending your disdain for taxation in general along for the ride on the real outrage of police misconduct and racism. And if they were trying to arrest a hedge fund executive for evading $1 million in taxes, I'm throwing in this example, wouldn't you and Rand Paul make exactly the same argument?
I mean, I think I went out of my way to stress that I think that this isn't the main concern here. I think that there are other concerns. I don't know if we know yet if this was racism. I think that there certainly is racism in police forces around this country. Certainly people die unnecessarily because of police force, and I believe all of that. But I also believe that creating tons of laws – let me put it this way. Why would someone who believes that police forces are inherently racist give them more reason to bother people, give them more reasons to interact with people, give them more reasons to arrest people? It seems, or give them more reasons to use force. It seems to me that the libertarian argument works perfectly well here. I'm not trying to hitchhike on something serious, but it certainly is part of what's gone on. I don't think, you know, even the caller admitted that at the end. So I don't think that it's a crazy argument. And I think libertarians, incidentally, view the justice system very differently than most mainline conservatives or mainstream conservatives. So I think there is a differentiation to make there as well.
Ed in Huntington, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ed.
Yes. What I would like to know is why the New York City Police Department was doing the job of the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms.
Because it's a tobacco-related crime. Well, I guess it's because it's more seen as a New York State tax collection crime. David Harsanyi, do you have any other answer to that question?
I think that you're right about that. I think that it was it sounds to me they were harassing this guy and just simply didn't want him around there, frankly. So this was an excuse for them. But I think, yes, it's a tax collection crime.
Patrick in Levittown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just wanted to comment on, I don't think that cigarette taxes are necessarily a punishment for people who decide to smoke, rather a preventative measure for young people like myself. For instance, I'm 22, and I have smoked in the past, but now, as a college student, I can't afford, $12 or $13 on a pack of cigarettes, and I think that that's beneficial for society to have young people not be able to afford to smoke.
So are you an example of a person for whom the high cigarette tax did actually run you out of the habit?
Yeah.
Do you ever buy Lucy's?
Excuse me?
Do you ever buy Lucy's? You know what Lucy's are?
No, I don't buy Lucy's. And that's another thing is I don't think that the police officer, for instance, Daniel Pantaleo, when he was arresting Eric Garner, I don't think that he was thinking like, I'm going to chokehold this guy because he's selling Lucy's. So I think we're mixing two different issues in one.
Patrick, thank you very much. And so to pursue the hitchhiking argument, David, I'm guessing this is ultimately because you feel taxation takes money from people who deserve it by being successful in the economy and gives it to people who don't deserve it because they've been less so. And you'll fight for that principle wherever you can find a hook. Is that fair?
No, of course it's not fair. I think the taxation that pays for the things we need, that helps the poor. Obviously, I don't like how the welfare state works exactly, but I understand the need for it. I think that this is a taxation that's apart from those things. I think it's a taxation meant simply to protect people from their own habits. The young man who just called, he's 22 years old. If he doesn't want to smoke, he shouldn't smoke. He shouldn't look to the government to babysit him along. And if we're down this road, why don't we put high taxes on all the things that are bad for us in society, not just the ones that the majority dislike, including Starbucks coffee or whatever he's eating, steaks. I mean, it's an endless road if we want to be babysitted. We need to take care of ourselves. I think that's the libertarian argument.
Jim and Brick, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi, Brian. The police are responding not to fulfill the role of the ATF, but the likelihood, in all likelihood, from a friend of mine who buys Lucy's, he's white, he was married and into it, so he's sensitive. These stores sell the Lucy's. People who are economically depressed, even though per unit they're cheaper in the pack, yes, $15 for 20 cigarettes are cheaper than a dollar a cigarette, but people don't want to spend the $15. They'll rather spend it, and they rationalize it that they're rationing their intake of cigarettes. But the store owners, in all likelihood, made a complaint with the store operators.
We know they did.
And it was a quality of life issue that the police respond to accommodate them. But it's all very hypocritical because the store owners, my friend said, it's like 20 years ago when you went into shops on the Upper West Side and you can get pot. They sort of have to know you so they don't get busted from the ATF, the store owners.
Right. Not so much quality of life issue, but economic competition issue.
Well, that's why the operators are calling, because they're rent-paying,
exactly.
and Mr. Garner's on the street and infringing on their sales.
Right. So what do you think the right way to proceed here would be in terms of the taxation? Should they, because I think that you're also outraged by what happened to Eric Garner, should police just not enforce these tax laws? Is this an example, as our guest is arguing, as libertarians argue, of a bad tax law causing too much contact with the police?
I honestly could only say that I was thinking about the issue in Hackensack or I guess anywhere. You could theoretically, the store, I mean, if someone wanted to, I've stopped smoking years ago, one could get tax or lower tax cigarettes from Indian reservations. There's a thriving mail order business in cartons of cigarettes that...
Yeah, you can get black market cigarettes.
No, they're not. That you can buy them legally from, I don't know where...
I see. There are ways internet to avoid that tax. Jim, thank you very much. And David, I'm not sure this applies to libertarians as much as conservatives per se, but there's this contradiction in their passions that's for law and order on the one hand, long prison sentences, warrantless wiretapping, zero tolerance for this or that, citing the rule of law. And on the other hand, trying to discredit the IRS as if it was King George of England, as if not paying your lawful taxes was some sort of marker of liberty. And they'll jump up and down over not having the right to avoid, you know, U.S. income taxes by claiming their companies exist in the Bahamas or whatever. And that's not a rule of law issue. That's a liberty issue. Do you see that contradiction?
I do. Yeah. I mean, sometimes, and I can't speak for conservatives, but I think that there are people like Rand Paul and others in the Republican Party these days who view those issues a little differently. Obviously, people should follow the laws that pass, and you know, I'm not making excuses for not following the law, but I do think that we can discuss as a society laws that aren't making sense. And you brought up economics. I mean, at some point, you're going to hit a price where there's going to be a black market, and black markets mean more criminality in society, and it's something that we should think about. I think conservatives are a little bit hypocritical on some of these issues, but I think it's a little more complicated, all the stuff that you threw in there. I think that the IRS did abuse its power in certain ways, and it had little to do with taxes and more to do with free speech issues, but I think that's a separate discussion.
And to one of the caller's points, it was the it wasn't the IRS, it was the law-abiding business people, the merchants on the block, libertarian heroes who make their living running lawful small businesses who are getting customers stolen by Eric Garner selling black market cigarettes in front of their stores, who called the police and wanted them to deal with him. So not to support what police did to him in any way, but they could arguably be a libertarian's prime concern over a black marketeer on the corner.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why I think my argument is that the environment for this sort of thing has been created, but also I don't think that the shopkeep is thinking about ideology when the guy's selling Lucy's in front of his store. He just wants to protect his business. And, you know, I don't know. I'm sure circumstances are always different, but that's why I argue that the environment's created, not that and again, the police, I think, overreacted, and it could have been any kind of law that they were trying to enforce. It doesn't have to do with cigarettes, and my point simply is that it is part of the equation, that's all.
Larry in East Orange, you're on WNYC. Hi, Larry.
Yeah, hi. You know, where did Eric Garner get the cigarettes that he was selling? Didn't he pay a tax on them wherever he got them?
Oh, that's a great question. So did he, and I don't know the answer to this. David, I wonder if you do. I've heard this question come up before, and I've been meaning to go find the answer, but I haven't. The cigarettes that he was selling as, quote, Lucy's, are they cigarettes that he bought in a pack at a store, and therefore he did pay the tax on them, or did he get them through some other black market means, and therefore they were never taxed?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that, but I do know there's a huge, even in Staten Island, there's a huge market for black, you know, huge black market cigarette operations moving forward, because in the New York Post, I read a story about someone in his van. He had like a ton of cigarettes, literally. So I suspect that he probably, though, just bought a pack of cigarettes and made a profit on it selling them by singles. But that's just I'm not sure.
By the way, I guess opposition to public health campaigns is a big priority for conservatives and libertarians, because I see in today's headlines that the Republican Congress is extracting only a few concessions from President Obama in order to pass a new budget and not threaten a government shutdown this fall or winter. And one of them is scaling back Michelle Obama's Get Fit child nutrition campaign. Did you see that? And so I guess that's an ideological crusade on which to define government as evil, ending a public health campaign to fight childhood obesity and diabetes. Really?
Well, when you put it that way, you sound perfectly, you know, it sounds like a crazy thing to do, but I view it a little differently. I don't think the job of the government is to babysit and to nag people. There's no law that says I have to be healthy. There's no law that says I have to be slender. I mean, most people, and I think some education is fine in schools, you want to teach kids, but most people understand when they're doing something wrong, they do it anyway. How far do we want to go in nagging them and in telling them how to live their lives?
But here's why it might be a government function. And I admit, I went to school for public health, so maybe I got brainwashed in grad school. But because of the market pressures on people to do unhealthy things, the market, left to its own devices entirely, will push people into much more unhealthful habits overall, and therefore lost years of life, et cetera, than if there is also a community pushback, community in this case being the government, with public health campaigns and such. Do you, even as a libertarian, do you not agree with that?
To some extent, I do, but the market also, and I go to your ordinary sort of supermarket, not a Whole Foods or something like that, and there are a million choices that you can make that the market's reacting to people who want to be healthier. I admit, I mean, food is, you know, productivity is so high that I can buy, and I'm making this up because I don't know, but go to a McDonald's and for $1 buy myself a Big Mac, and that's cheap, and it satisfies me in some way, and it's unhealthy, and there's very little we can do. I think the people who go there constantly must know that it's not healthy for them, most of them. And I think there's an extent where there's a time when, you know, you've nagged enough. There's nothing you can do other than coercion. And if that's the way we want to go, I guess that's a different debate.
And maybe a little coercion is a good thing in the right places. Society uses it all the time. And we will leave it there for this piece of the Libertarian Conversation with David Harsanyi, senior editor of The Federalist. And he had an article in Reason magazine about stupid tax laws contributing to the death of Eric Garner. Thank you for joining us and having this conversation.
Anytime. Thank you.